This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. I felt bad the other day. I realized I didn't get you anything for the holidays. And then I realized I could for each and every one of you. I'm going to talk to three people over the next 3 days who've written books that, for me, shined a little light into these short, dark days. Today, Dr. Brilliant. That's his name, Dr. Larry Brilliant, who these days is chairman of the Skoll Global Threats Fund. But listen to his resume. He was once essentially the team doctor for the Grateful Dead. And after traveling with rock and roll bands in the early 70s, he ends up in India with a guru who told him, instead of sitting around here praying, get out there and cure smallpox from all of India, which he does as part of a World Health Organization team. His memoir is called Sometimes Brilliant, and Larry joined us from San Francisco.
So we were living at a spot in the map where India and Nepal, China and Tibet all converge in the Himalayas. And the teacher that we were living with says to me that my destiny is to leave the meditation of the monastery and go down to Delhi and work with the United Nations because this terrible disease, smallpox, was going to be eradicated as a gift from God to lift one form of suffering from the backs of humanity. And that sounded as strange to me then as it probably sounds to you now.
I know you're a doctor at the time, but you're not an epidemiologist.
I was a pretty wretched doctor, I think. I had just graduated from medical school. This was my first job, and I'd been living with a bunch of rock and roll bands, being a rock doc, not a real doctor, and I was certainly totally unqualified to work for the United Nations, and it was a preposterous idea.
So you go down there, and at first they don't welcome you with open arms, right?
Oh, actually, they kicked me out. They didn't like the kurta pajamas that I was wearing. It looked like a dress, and my beard was down to my knees. And, of course, I'd never seen a case of smallpox and never done anything like that. They should have kicked me out.
But you persist. Persisting once, persisting twice. You keep at it, and you join this team without a lot of experience, but it turns out to be one of the most important public health undertakings I think we've seen in our lifetimes.
You know, I kept going back down, and after a while I got smart and I trimmed my beard a little bit and borrowed an ill-fitting suit. They still had to create a job low enough to hire me. In the United Nations parlance, I was a secretary, not a doctor. I think it was 6 months before I had been working there before somebody realized I really was a doctor, and they gave me a chance to go out to the field. And my first day going out to the field, a wonderful man named Bill Fagey, who became the head of CDC, took me to see my first case of smallpox, children dying all around us. And I was distraught and helpless and despondent. And Bill said, there's nothing to do. We have no cure. That's why we must eradicate this disease.
You have no cure. You have to vaccinate against it, but you also have to find out where it is, in which houses, in which villages.
Yeah, if you are struggling against a disease for which there's no cure, there's not a lot of incentive to report it to medical facilities. Doctors don't really want to tell other doctors that they have failed to do enough vaccination to stop the disease. And smallpox in India had a peculiar quality that was sort of deity-like. There was a goddess named Shitala Ma, the cooling mother, who was both the protector and the bringer of smallpox. And smallpox didn't really have that same feeling about it in India that we think of it as a disease. It was more like a visitation.
So you see the account in the book, but, you know, of all the problems we have in this world, the big one is not smallpox, is it? You did it.
That's right. This is a disease which in the 20th century killed over 500 million people. That's not a wordo. That's half a billion people. That's more than all the people who died in that terrible century from all the two world wars and the Holocaust and all of the genocides. That was 500 million people died from this disease. In fact, David, during the Summer of Love, when I was a hippie in San Francisco, there were 3 million people all over the world dying of smallpox. It's not that it was so long ago. And when smallpox was eradicated, it was the end of an unbroken chain of transmission that went back to the pharaohs.
Yet public health nightmares persist around the world and here in the U.S. In the U.S., we have chronic things, diabetes. We have the abuse of prescription medication. I mean, what are some of the lessons of your work back then to the current situation?
I think the biggest lesson for me is that after we did eradicate smallpox, this impossible task, kids would be going into schools of public health and medical school and not going into business or law as much. And there was this feeling in the air that you could actually accomplish something meaningful. I was a professor then at the University of Michigan, and my classes were crowded with young people who wanted to do something great and noble again, tackle polio eradication and all these other diseases that we are now faced with. As long as we can prove that we are not the incompetent louts that our current political vitriol would have us be, then many people want to work together to help the poorest and most vulnerable amongst us. And that was the lesson, that we could get together. And I do want to mention that this was in the middle of the Cold War, when Russia and the United States had 40,000 nuclear weapons pointed at each other. And yet we buried those 40,000 hatchets to work together with people from 170 countries, 150,000 people, every religion, Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Buddhists, every color of the rainbow, every facial hue, every religion. And we proved that we could do something on a global stage and that we are not so incompetent as human beings the way I think people feel today after the current political conversation.
Hey, Larry, that movie you're in with the bands when Warner Brothers wanted to do something with the hippies, I think it was called Medicine Ball Caravan. Was the movie any good?
No, it was a terrible movie. Don't go see it. But the only fun part of it was, you know, being a rock doc, I got to listen to the great music of, you know, the Grateful Dead and the Jefferson Airplane. And we ended that movie with a rock concert in Canterbury, Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. And I was in the little tent being the rock doc. And then we all decided that we wanted to stay on these buses, even though the movie was over, and take these kind of hippie buses from England all the way to Kathmandu. And we lived on, 40 of us lived on two buses for almost 2 years, driving through Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan. And I just want to mention that in those days, when we would go into a country like Afghanistan or Pakistan, if we went into, and we would always go to a little village, and I'd open up my medical tent. And if it were a Muslim village, there'd be a central place in the village with a picture of Mecca. If it was a Buddhist place, there'd be an image of Buddha. Hindu village, there'd be an image of Ram or Vishnu. Not all the time, David, but, you know, 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10, 3 out of 10 times, right next to that image of Buddha or Mecca or Vishnu, there'd be a picture of John F. Kennedy. In the most sacred part of a country that we don't go to anymore unless we go there as warriors, there was a picture of our president, because aspirationally, that was something that for those villagers, we were the good guys. And we've got to be the good guys again. We've got to be aspirationally that kind of a place that you think of as this, oh, maybe this crazy old uncle that will help you out in times of the worst stress, not the ones who create the worst stress.
The book is called Sometimes Brilliant, The Impossible Adventure of a Spiritual Seeker and Visionary Physician Who Helped Conquer the Worst Disease in History. Among so many things, Dr. Brilliant is also co-founder of the SEVA Foundation, which helps prevent blindness, and he serves as chairman of the board for the Skoll Global Threats Fund. Larry Brilliant, thank you.
David, thanks for having me.